Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Early Tuesday morning, 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number, 0847863132. International overseas listeners, +27 84786 3132. Well, today is the 10th of Rabi'ul Awal, 1442, which is also the 27th of October, 2020. Let's welcome our beloved senior fadilatul respected Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Listener says, how much money must be given to a wife for personal use, excluding the normal expenses such as bread, milk, etc. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything we will find in the Quran Sharif or in the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Talaq, chapter 65, verse number 7, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala teaches us, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ, that every person, the husband, should spend according to his means. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ بِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. If a person's income is really very little, so he should spend according to his means. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa ma ataha. Allah has not burdened any person more than his ability, capability, capacity. So therefore, we don't quantify a figure, but we say it is a moral obligation, akhlaqi farz, that besides your mahar and so forth, every month, every week, whatever suits you, give your wife something, and just as a gift, don't ask her questions, bring receipt for this, receipt for this, receipt for this. So keep a bigger heart. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. Who keeps a bigger heart, magnanimous heart, Almighty Allah elevates them as well.
Somebody says, yo, Ustad, there is a guy who is interested in marrying me. He has advised his parents about me and is waiting for my answer. I would love to tell my parents, Mufti Sahab, as I'm happy to marry him. Do I read Istikhara Namaz before I tell my parents for an answer, or do I tell them first and then read, Ustad?
First and foremost, you must inform your parents. And only if your parents are happy, then you make a decision and not just go on your own gut feeling that you feel you are happy and so forth. No. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. Nikah is not valid and not permissible without the consent of the guardian, the father, the paternal grandfather, the dada, the chacha, the kaka, the uncle, if the father, grandfather are not there, the brother. So in those cases it's different, but remember, first you discuss it with your beloved parents and see what they say. Both of them must be happy. Then if you still want, then you can make mashura and consult, do some homework, and what is the background of this person? Does he belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Does he perform salat? Is his income halal? And are your ages also compatible, suitable to one another? So he must not be a Shia or a Qadiani. He must not be Aga Khani. So today people have fancy, fancy names, but many a time they're not even Muslim, like the examples I gave now. So you must be very careful in this regard. Yeah. Sometimes you women, not all, but sometimes you get carried away. The guy comes with a smart BMW, be my wife. He comes with smart money and, you know, impressive clothing and so forth, just to show off. And then you think that, I to bosaro, this guy, I boharuche, you know, that this guy is the right guy. But remember, the most important things we don't find out. So all that you have to find out, but your parents must be happy. Thereafter, you make the final decision.
Somebody says here, dear Mufti Sahab, They say it is haram to see a non-mahram. So how can one fall in love? Until and unless he or she sees each other. At the time of the walima reception, the bride sits on the stage and people come and meet her and the bridegroom and give gifts. So Muftisab, at that time, the non-mahram men and women are seeing each other and the bride is watched by all the relatives and friends on this occasion. So what should be done? And how should one avoid this in reception? Anonymous, Ustad.
Yeah, my brother, there are three issues. For male to look at the female, strange female, is haram. And for the female to look at strange male, remember, is haram. And today what is happening, people staring at the opposite gender, ogling, all this totally haram. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 24, Surah Nur, the radiance, effulgence. I mentioned to you several times and occasions, our mother Siddiqa bint Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So she used to say, Allimu nisa'akum surat al-nur, teach your females, your women folk, Surah Nur, chapter 24. Surah chapter 24, verse 30, Qul lil mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim wa yahfadhu furujahum. Tell the believing man they must love their gazes and guard the private part. Wakul, next verse. Wakul lil mu'minati yaghdudna min absarihinna. Chapter 24, verse 31. Tell the believing women that they must lower their gazes and wayahfadna furujahun, and they must protect their private part. So that is why we say all this today on Instagram and on Facebook and what, the women showing their figure and showing their body and face, all haram that is. Likewise for the men also, but is worse for the woman. So that is, you must remember, one issue. Second issue, now how will you know how you're going to get married to? So when you look at that lady and her father, her brother is there, then she will expose her face to you, and then you can talk 5 minutes, 6 minutes or so, and in that way there, remember, you make up your mind after that. So in Islam, there's no such thing of the Western concept that first you have love, dating, smooching, trying, all that, and then you get married, all that totally haram, A to Z. So Islam is teaching us, chapter 30, Surah Rum, verse 21, write down all these verses. They will help you later on in life. Chapter 30, verse 21, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and from the signs and the symbols of Almighty Allah, أَنَ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that Allah created you from your own species, your own kind, your partners, Adam and Eve. Eve and Adam, not Adam and Steve and Madam and Eve. All that is shaitaniyat, totally haram, and people who involved in that, they out of the fold of Islam. So as one of Fardiva, so they are forward, you know, forwarditis, before they suffer from that. So they will come and even kiss your wife, some of them, the men. And some woman will come kiss you. So therefore you will see maybe you got lipstick marks on you. So all the shaitaniyat, remember, and then we want to make dua. Ya Allah, give barakah in this marriage. Everything we did is haram, and now we say we want barakah. How that can happen? It's like inserting poison, and we make dua. Ya Allah, give us shifa. So why you think our divorce rate is spiraling out of control? All this unda dandas, our foundation itself is totally haram. So therefore, think properly what we are doing.
I like that to start. For diva. For justice, subhanAllah. 19 after 11. Let's go to the next one. It says here, Mufti Sab, Assalamu alaikum. What can be done if one has problems with one's in-laws and husband? My mommy and daddy don't know I'm messaging, and my in-laws. Can I ask my mommy and them to come and pick me up, Mufti Sab? I'm 22 years of age. Ustad, Anonymous.
No, they must not come pick you up. You're 22 years old. I don't know you, but my guess is you married 1-2 years only. I don't know. Maybe there's one baby, one child also. So we are not here to break the home. We are here to make the home. So Quran Kareem teaches us was sulhu khair. Reconciliation is the best. So what must you do? You sit with your husband today. When he's in a good mood, darling, hubby, let's sit now. Tell me all the things you like and the things you dislike. I will tell you the things I like and what I dislike. Now let us meet one another halfway. So you must remember, both of you have to make compromise adjustments. Cry to Allah, make dua to Allah. Ya Wadu, ودود يا ودود يا ودود اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا يا الله bring the ulfa mahabba mawadda the love within our heart for one another. Read surah chapter 25 verse 74 rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Almighty Allah, grant us our spouses and children and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes. Maybe I don't have children, but that stigma will remain with you. You are divorced. Do you want that? No. So you want to remain, save the home, don't break the home. Maybe you got a child. So do you want your pair, your daughter, your son to grow up with a single parent? No, it's not ideal. So therefore, you must try and don't just get carried away. Yes, if you're living with your in-laws, it is your Islamic right. You tell your husband you want your separate dwelling, your separate house, whether it's a flat, whether it's a house, whether it's outbuilding, so you have your independence and so forth. So all that you can request and demand, remember that, but don't break your home. And your parents, because of their love for you, they will not even hear the other side story, the son-in-law story. Whatever you say and you're crying, they will just believe you. That's another big problem we have. So our people are not even prepared to listen to the other side of the story. Yeah, pick your bags up, we'll pick you up. No, we don't behave like that. Our aim must be to save the home and not break the home. Make the home, my sister. If you are sincere, Allah says, "E yurida islaha yuwaffiqillahu baynahuma." Even at the 11th hour, where you bring in arbitrators, he brings in somebody from his family, from his side. You bring somebody from your side or your family, and if they go in with the positive frame of mind, yuwaffiqillahu baynahuma, Allah jalla wala will bring about that reconciliation. Imagine, Allah is giving us so much motivation, inspiration, but the shaitan comes and tells us, yufarriquna bihi bayn al-mar'i wa zawji. The shaitan says, I'm going to break your home. So who are you making happy, my sister? So no, don't. Whenever the thought comes, break the home, say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Read ya wadudu ya wadud. Give out charity daily and make the home, don't break the home.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, the sister says, Ji Mufti Saab, I'm going to be speaking the truth to you. Yes, I am married for 2 years and I am pregnant. But Mufti Saab, I need also your help. He's a very, very violent man. He hits me several times, Mufti Saab. I was never married, but he was married, Mufti Saab. He got divorced. Now I'm married to him. The same sister, Ustad, 22 years of age. Student of Deen, Ustad.
Now see, that you are pregnant. Now, how can you want the divorce when you are pregnant? What will happen to your beautiful daughter, your handsome son? Do you really want that? They must grow up. You must remember with a single parent. Now, I'm not trying to be funny or something, but I ask you and pose the question to, I don't know you, right? I don't know your parents. But you knew that this man here is divorced. And you know when men are divorced, then half the time, if not 80% of the time, they also to blame. So how come you got married to this person who divorced his first wife? Second one, before you said yes, didn't you do some homework and so forth regarding the temperament of that person there? If he hit you, assaulted you, you must go to the police.
Allah.
You must remember, lay a charge of assault against him and make it clear to him that you tell your parents that they must come and tell him, if you lay your hands again, then you go thronged to straight to prison. That is what Islam says also. You can't be making your wife a punching bag, and because you had a bad day there at work, you had a bad day with somebody else, now you can vent your anger on your wife and beat her up. So all that totally haram. So all this, instead of making war, having a war situation, you make jaw, J-A-W. What meant jaw? You speak it out. And then you tell him, see, me, I was prepared to break this home, but I'm giving it another chance. But these are the conditions, and you must also abide, and I also abide, and we sign, and these are the witnesses. If both of you are sincere, and he must apologize to you for assaulting you, beating you up, and so forth, it can't carry on like that. That's unacceptable, definitely. And remember, husbands who treat their wives like that are cursed. And I'm amazed and astonished you say that you're a student of Deen. If you're a student of Deen, you should have known better how to make decisions in life. No. So anyway, in life, we all make mistakes. Remember that. I make mistake, you make mistake. So make the best of a bad situation. That's what we say. Make the best of a bad situation. So you must knock some sense into that husband of yours when he's in a good mood and not in front of anybody, and tell him we can make this marriage work. Allah is giving us this wonderful flower and baby, and both of you read the du'as of Anbiya alayhimus salam. I'm giving you the du'as. Read chapter 37, verse 100. The du'a of Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh, my beloved Allah, that grant me and grant us pious children. So Allah Ta'ala will give you good child, and that child will become the bonding factor between father and mother, husband and wife. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam cried, and both of them cried to Allah in their old age. So you must remember that Nabi Ibrahim was very old, and is mentioned in Quran, Surah 14, verse 39. Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahabali alal kibari Ismail wa Ishaq. Ya Allah Jalla wala, I praise you. All my praises are for you. You gave me a gift during my old age, Ya Allah. You first granted me Ismail alayhi salam, and subsequently Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. So see everything in Quran. You take Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. He is in his old age. Open chapter 19, the first, second, third, fourth verse, and see. He cries to Allah, وَهَنَ الْأَذْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأَسُ شَيْبًا. Ya Allah, my bones are gone brittle and weak. Ya Allah, my hair is gone grayish and whitish. Then he cries to Allah and makes dua. Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 38. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant me from your side such children that are pure, that are chaste, that are good. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Oh, Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, you listen and accept this dua of mine. And then you read the dua of the pious people. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. I'm sure that dua you know. So read, give out charity, save your home, and inshallah the barakah, the rahmah will come with your baby, and that will be inshallah the catalyst and the inspiration for both of you, that you will be joined together, and inshallah no more fighting and arguing. And husband, absolutely haram to hit your wife and beat her up and assault her. That can never be justified in any circumstances.
I see Buta Yahya says, Muftisab, hear home a good pak sla, still home trong too. Yahya from Cape Town Ustad.
A kenny for homni, I say he saw us, then slang of a boy. So you must remember that now.
Ustad, what is the Islamic right of a child, a girl, when a couple divorces, bearing in mind that the child has been taken away by the father without consent and prior to the divorce to another country? If the woman is granted an Islamic divorce, what rights does she as the mother have over this child? Anonymous, urgent Ustad.
Here there are three issues that maybe you didn't understand. We spoke some Afrikaans, some Dutch. Brother Yahya said we must give he that brother, that husband, their good hiding and send him to prison. I said I don't know him. If he was here, we should give him a good hiding and send him to prison, but we don't know who it is. Anyway, let it was just lighthearted. Okay, this one here is very, very serious. So a couple, marriage turned sour, husband already had his plans drawn out. He organized his passport. There's a baby involved. He gave divorce to the wife. He took the baby and he's gone overseas. So the divorce is valid. Whether he gave one talaq, two divorce, three talaq, whatever the case is, so all that is valid. Second, what he did is absolutely haram. You must notify the police. You must notify all the law agencies and all of them. If he comes back to South Africa, we had one case like this. And they locked him up there at the airport because of kidnapping. And you must remember, it's absolutely haram what he did. You, as the mother, you got the right of custody of the child. The child is 1 year old, 3 years old, 5 years old. So the mother got the right of custody according to all the scholars of Islam. So what he did, he kidnapped the child, he abducted the child, and now he's gone and he split. And then when he comes back after 2 years, 5 years, he says, don't worry, I will bribe the police, I will do this. But you must lay the charge. You must remember that. And you must expose him for this. Then third one, what you need to do is speak to your father-in-law, mother-in-law. They're still your mahram. Your father-in-law is still your mahram. So you must remember that. You tell him that, see what your son did, my ex-husband. This is totally haram, and you have to bring my daughter back to me, my son back to me, whatever it is. So remember, I am the biological mother. So get their help, their family. There must be somebody who's sympathetic to you as well, and they must see justice prevail. So this person is guilty of multi crimes. One is giving you the talaq. Second one is splitting the country. Third one, kidnapping the child, and so forth. Fourth one, now you must remember, you don't have any way that he wants that the child must forget you. And that is what the Quran says, Surah 47, verses 22-23. In tawallaytum, when you have authority, you have power. So you have money. Antufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem on this earth. Watuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties. He wants to cut off the daughter, that son's ties with his mother. When you do that, Surah 47, verses 22-23, so those are the people Allah Ta'ala curses them. For aswammahum, Almighty Allah makes them spiritually deaf, wa a'ma absarahum, and spiritually blind. So remember, every moment he is cursed by Almighty Allah. The child is ma'asum, innocent, but the place of the child is by the mother. She or he must feel the warmth of that mother, must be embraced by the mother, must be kissed by the mother. That is what Islam is teaching. So you need to expose him and speak to your in-laws as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. A new letter says here, good day, sir. I like your program. Is there a call-in number we can call to speak live on air? I need to get my frustrations out to warn people about the evils found in some men. My name is Edley, Ustad.
Remember, my sister Edley, what you, I think in Cape Town, one of the main streets there is Edley Street. I brought my one pair of shoes there from Cuthbert's. So I remember that, you know. So anyway, Watson shoe. I used to love Watson shoes in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Edley, my advice to you is this. You send us a WhatsApp. I'm giving you the number now, 084-786-3132. And then my brother Yemon Arafat will read it out if you send it in time. And if you can't come in today, then tomorrow also same time we have the program, and it is between 11 and 12 part 2, and we will take your question. We got no problem. So we want people to send in the WhatsApp messages, and in that way there, remember, it makes life easier for both of us. You write it down, send it, keep it short and sweet and to the point, and don't make this mistake, Adelie. You can't now paint every body with the same brush. That is, your husband, your boyfriend, whatever, beat you up, assaulted you, he betrayed you, got busy with other women, whatever the case is, or he got busy with wine and dine and swine. So all these are drugs or alcohol, but we can't paint everybody with the same brush. Similarly, the men, their marriage failed, now he start cursing all the women, so that also is wrong. Everything we have to look at from a perspective of justice to everybody concerned. So that is where we will answer your question. Don't worry about that. But you just send it on 084-786-3132, a WhatsApp, and we'll answer you, my sister.
Edley says, Ustad, of course, her surname name is E-D-L-E-Y. Her sister's name is Adeline, Ustad. She's speaking on behalf of her sister, Adeline. Her husband is a drunk addict, and she's in hospital. He beat a bad Ustad.
Yes, you see, I just told you that. So in a case like that, your sister and you, the family, you must lay charges upon charges upon charges, and he must be sent to jail. You know, in South Africa, despite the crime, corruption, at least this is taken quite serious. Femicide and, you know, gender violence and so forth. So go and lay a charge against him, you know, and say that this is not the first time and so forth. forth, and he must pay for all the medical expenses and so forth. Then your sister must make the choice. Does she want to stay with such a person, or it's better she move out? If she asks me, I will say she should move out. Whenever my own brothers, sisters of the Muslim faith, Islamic faith, ask me, and they say their husband is on drugs, on alcohol, is an addict and so forth, I say, see, I've been to so many and several rehabs and so forth. You go ask them, what is your recovery rate? They will say 10%, 15%, 20%, maximum 25%. Yeah. So the chances are very slim of a rehabilitation and rehabilitation and so forth. So in a case like that, tell your sister, she can go to court, she can go to the police, whatever, but she must move out, but she must charge him for all the expenses. You must remember, she must use the South African law, and in that way there, she must claim everything from him. She must take him to the cleaners, and that is my advice to your sister. Almighty Allah, the Supreme Being, make it easy for you, the family, and your beloved sister, and we pray for her, Ameen. And pray for all of you. Almighty Allah guide you and show you that, therefore, my sister, that my advice to you. You see, khamar is the term we use. That is alcohol, intoxicants. Islam says one drop of it also, totally haram, not permissible. Why? That ma askara kathiruhu fa qalilu haram. What intoxicates in large quantities, even one drop is not permissible, is totally unlawful haram. Because it creates havoc in the family and husband, wife and children and society. It is the mother of all vices and sin. Al-khamru ummul khabais, ummul fawahish. These are the ahadith and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I just want you to remember that. Therefore, you find majority of the people who embrace Islam today are females. They realize what greatness there is in Islam by saying that wine, dine, swine, all this are haram and not acceptable.
Adli says, God be with you, Mufti Saab, God bless you. And she says, thank you, dear God, for listening to my story today, Ustad.
Yes, it is a service. We don't want anything from you, my sister. We are here to pray for all humanity, but let justice prevail. You should give sisterly advice to your sister and tell her this man is no good. Take him to the cleaners and teach him a lesson. When they got money to get drunk and drunk and into, so he must pay her for all the expenses and all the injuries and whatever harm, emotional harm, physical harm, he has caused her. So that much you should do.
One more question, Ustad. It says here, anonymous, dear Mufti Saab, men are dogs. We're listening to your program right now. Maaf, Mufti Saab, is there any good man left in this world? Why do men cheat on us, wives, who give them our entire lives? Anonymous, Ustad.
Yes, but you can't make a statement like that, that the men are this and that. I just told the sister, we don't know. Mohan Arafat just reads, I don't see the questions. Now, you can't paint everybody with the same brush. See the justice system of Islam. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَعَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. You don't like men, right? So the justice must prevail, that you don't go and say that all of them are like that. You must exercise justice. That is what Quran says. You must say some men are like that, that they don't fear Allah, and after they have deflowered you, then they remove your virginity, everything, they hate their fun and games, everything, and that's not enough. Now they go to this prostitute, they go to the street ladies, they go here and there and all that. So remember that such men in Islam, there's adultery, and for adultery, remember, it is the death penalty. So that is what Islam will say, but you can't go and make the statement that you made now. And if you want to see the verse I quoted now, go to chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, and verse number 8. And that is what Almighty Allah is teaching us. And now you must decide whether you want to stay in the marriage, or you request a talaq, a divorce, or you want to go to the ulama and apply for fasakh, annulment of marriage. These are the options open to you, my sister. But end of the day, you also must realize dua has great, great impact. If you got children and so forth, so then think properly which decision you want to make, and in that way there, that remember, then you make your final decision. Allah make it easy.
16 minutes to 12, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Somebody says, you start husband and wife having an argument to start regarding the auspicious birth of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The wife is saying, some are saying it's the 12th, and the husband is saying no, some are saying it's the 17th of Rabiul Awal. Which is the right date, Ustad?
We, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that when we look at the books that are written initially regarding the Mubarak biography of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Ibn Ishaq and them, rahimahullah, they mention the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Likewise, there's a hadith in Mustadrak Hakim, and there also is 12th Rabiul Awwal. And if you study Shias, Shias are not Muslim, remember that, first point. They say 17th of Rabiul Awwal. And for you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you should know that this Iranian regime, that what they do every year, I don't know about this year because of the corona and COVID-19, but till last year, every year they have a conference and they invite people and who are chamchas, you know, they give them money and so forth. So they go and participate there and so forth. So from the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal to the 17th of Rabi'ul Awwal, and the title and the unwan they have is At-Taqreeb Baina Ahli Sunnah Wa Ahli Shia. How to bring the Sunnis and the Shias nearer to one another and bring about unity. Because we say 12th Rabi'ul Awwal, and if you want English Gregorian calendar, 20th April 571, and it was a Monday morning between 4:35 4:40. Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place, the greatest event in history. And remember, that was the auspicious birth of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they, the Shia kuffar, they say 17th Rabiul Awwal. Now let me relate to you my story. Mm-hmm. I left South Africa. This is now 2013. So you must remember, on a Sunday, and via Dubai, then I landed there in Tehran on that Monday. That Monday was first Rabi'ul Awwal, and this is 2013. And I remember that whilst we were putting the luggage in the taxi, so remember the Azan went. And in their Azan also is all upside down, different things they mention and all that. They got Aliyun Waliyullah and a lot of other things. Not as the first Khalifa, like the Shias are making propaganda. Anyway, so you must remember, I spent 12 days there, and the 13th I left from there. So on that Friday, that I was in Tehran, so I asked them that I must go to a Sunni masjid. Whole of Tehran capital, they don't have till today. A proper Sunni masjid, they don't have. They just give permission, yeah, they houses and all, halls you can go in. But masjid proper, they don't have. Other places in Shiraz and all that, they have Sunni masjid. But not yeah in Tehran. So anyway, when I went there, there was an imam from Sudan and so forth. So he spoke about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seerah and so forth. Anyway, that Friday, when I came to the hotel, so I found one big parcel for me. So I told my wife that stand one side. I don't know, maybe they put a bomb or something, you know. Slowly, I opened it. And then I saw it, a beautiful Quran Sharif. And there was a bitaka, a card. So it was written there in Persian and Arabic and all. So there was a number. So I thanked them. I said, no, tonight is a big meeting and you must come and so forth and all that. So that was the 12th Rabiul Awwal now. So I said, fine, that you just explain to my guide and I'll come alone and so forth. So when I went there, over 20 of them were waiting for me. The big Ayatullah and Hujjatullah, everyone kissing me. And so I know these people, kuffar, you know, and all this, they got tactics. So they say Ustad and Sheikh and Doktor and every title besides Imam they gave me, you know. So then four of them took me one side. He said, we know that you are booked to go back tomorrow. We give you 5-star hotel. We give you this. We give you that. They're trying to bribe me up, you know. So all that. And you, the guest, tomorrow you're going to speak of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and we got our people. I say, but you didn't invite me. I came on my own. I don't even know this conference is taking. Only Allah's help. help, Allah's mercy, Allah's benevolence, Allah Ta'ala save me. You understood? So from the 12, then I see how Allah Ta'ala helps. So I told them, see, you'll say you'll do anything for me. They say, yes. I say, when I entered, I saw a lot of books there. They said, yeah, it's for the conference. I say, okay, I'm going to take the books that I understand, Arabic, Urdu, English, I'll take. Is it okay? They said, it's fine. So I took the books, their books, and now we use it against them. So you must remember that. One book, Tawdihul Masail by Khomeini, La'anahullah, Allah's curse be on him. In there it's written, you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. So this is what they are teaching. So you must remember that. So from 12th, Rabi'ul Awwal, we the Ahlu Sunnah believe. 17th is the Shias believe. And they have that conference in Tehran. So that is how they fool the people, that the aim is to take control over the Sunnis and so forth. So therefore we rule that Shias are out of the fold of Islam. And people who swear, curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidah Aisha, Sayyidah Hafsa, Amirah Muawiyah radiallahu anhum, 100% kuffar, there's no question about it. Allah protect us from the scourge of the Shias. Ameen, Ya Rabbal.
Ameen, 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 Summa Ameen. Ustad, the brother would like to remain anonymous. He's from Boysons. He's saying that, Mufti Sahib, can we go to the embassy and bomb the embassy of France in South Africa? Ustad, see what's happening to our Muslims.
Remember, in Islam, we fulfill our duty with beauty. We never ever advocate violence. We never ever advocate that people must take the law into their own hands. So now if you go and do what you are suggesting, so what will happen? We Muslims will get, you must remember, stigmatized, and we will be called a terrorist, and we will be called all this. So definitely we will never give you the advice. We will say that is the wrong approach and the wrong strategy, and that is not permissible for you to do. What we must do, last night, today is Tuesday, right? You know, we finished up Q&A 10 o'clock, 5 past 10. Allah is my witness, I went to sleep about 11:30. Mm. I was busy, busy. Mm-hmm. I was sending out France. Who is their president who's talking all this rubbish and nonsense? At the age of 15, he was busy sleeping with his teacher. Mm. And that teacher had 3 children already. So you must remember, when the scandal broke out, then they put the teacher in another school, they put him somewhere else. But their affair still continued. Then she got divorced and what have you. Then he got married to her in 2007 and so forth. So his children, stepchildren are elder than him. So you must remember that. He says Islam is in a crisis, but he is in the biggest crisis himself. So how Allah has disgraced him. Just before the program, I told Maulana, whenever you have to speak now, Jummah time or wherever, just give the tafsir of Surah Kawthar. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. That is the barakah of Mustafa Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Nabi Allah, we say to the whole world, anybody hates you, oh Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah forbid, huwal abtar. Allah will crush him, demolish him. I give you 2 examples. So Abu Jahal, the enemy, he said, he used the word. He said, Allah forbid, naqle kufr, kufr nabashid. He said, you Muhammad, we say Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you abtar. Nobody will know you because your sons have passed away. Qasim was born, he passed away in infancy. Abdullah was born, he passed away in infancy. That's the time the shaitan Abu Jahal made this remark. Allah Jalla wala said, inna shani'aka huwal abtar. You understanding now? So see, in Battle of Badr, Friday, 17 Ramadan, second year after Hijrah, Abu Jahl dispatched straight to Jahannam. And go read Surah 44, Surah Dukhan, the last ruku, that inna shajarat al-zakum, Allah speak of that pungent tree, terrible taste. Allah tells Abu Jahl, zuq innaka antal azizul kareem. This is your penalty, your punishment. You thought you you are too big for your boots. He used to walk around the gullies, alleys of Makkah and say, Anal Azizul Kareem, I'm powerful, I'm generous. Allah has placed you straight in Jahannam. In our time, there was a person, war criminal, Ariel Sharon. He said, who can stop me from Aqsa? He took his police and army, 2,000 of them, desecrated Aqsa, desecrating the place of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Mi'raj. Allah Jalla wala put him in Nashani Akawal Abtar, 8 years in Sakarat. The best doctors, best professors, nobody can help you. Don't touch the honor of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will make you Macron and whoever else a sample and example for humanity and posterity. Remember that message goes out to the whole world. The honor of Nabi alayhi salam is more important to us than our families and anybody else in the world. So that is what we stand for.
Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, my wife and I got married this year. It was an arranged marriage. We're both still very shy of each other. And things are not progressing in the bedroom. I'm trying, what signs must I show her, Ustad? When I get to bed early, she comes late. When I'm a few minutes late, she pretends to be asleep. What do I do? Anonymous Ustad.
So you'll remember that you'll say one side you're shy for one another. But then it seems you don't want to click with one another also. So you should be clicking with one another. So clicking means that you should both be making adjustments. So both of you should be seducing one another. What is marriage? They are Sayyidina Ali. Let me give you the whole poem. Sayyidina Ali was a linguist par excellence. Madan nikahu ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. What is Nikah, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? So he ended everything on a Ra, on a Re, the letter Re, Ra. Sururu shahreen, 1 month's happiness. The husband happy, the wife happy, you know. Luzumu mahreen, and you must pay the mahar. Don't know the marital gift. Then humumu dahreen, and that is responsibilities for life now. So remember, today wife, then husband, this one sick, that one bad mood, this one good mood, like that. And so life of responsibilities. Sururu shahreen, luzumu mahreen, Mudaharin, Nuzulu Qabarin, and then after 5, 10, 20, 30 years, Allah knows best, then we put you down in the grave. So why you all doing this? It seems that you're shy, but now you're spiting one another. And instead of you two coming close to one another, she's turning towards, you know, the left, and you turning towards the right. So how are you going to then bond with one another and click with one another? So both of you should grow up, behave like adults and not children, and so forth. And remember that you can, you know, just make dua and so forth, and things will work out. Read Rabbana Hablana Min Azwajina, read Ya Wadudu Ya Wadud, and inshallah, you must adjust with one another. And always, when negativity comes and evil thoughts come, say A'udhu Billahi Min Ash-Shaytanir Rajeem, and read the duas, make wudu, and remember, then go and sleep. Come now, you husband. Husband, wife, both of you. You listening, wife, you teach him. Husband, you listening, you teach your wife. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So before you go, you made wudu, you went to bed. Before now, you on conjugal rights and all that, read Bismillahi. Any action that is permissible, we say Bismillah. In the name of Almighty Allah. Before eating, before drinking, before sleeping, before husband-wife relationship. Bismillahi jannibna shaitan. Ya Allah, put the shaitan and his cronies very far from us. We don't want them. They must get out from here. So you read Bismillahi jannibna shaitan, and you're not only thinking of yourself. Wa jannibi shaitan ma arzaqtana. Ya Allah, put the shaitan far, far away from our progeny and children whom you are going to bless us with. Open Bukhari Sharif. This is the dua. Dua ul jima. The dua before husband and wife. Before conjugal relationship, this is the dua you must read. Rawahul Bukhari, Imam Bukhari mentioned it. Bismillahi jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitan malzaktana. So the shaitan is getting hold of you, and now you're doing things to spite one another. So read Ya Wadudu Ya Wadud, and kindle the love again, and then things will, the sparks will fly, inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Was that name for a baby boy? Between Hamza and Dia,
So you must remember that Hamza wa Taha. So that is Sayyidu Shuhada, the Chacha, the Kaka, the Am, the beloved uncle of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, means a lion, braver. So excellent name. So my nephew son's name Hamza, mashallah. And Diya. Now you yourself, I see you had problem in pronouncing it or sending the spelling and all that. So you must remember is Diya. Diya is with the dwad. So it will be D-H-I-Y-A. That means light and radiance and effulgence. For all intents and purposes, rather keep the name Hamza because it's much easier and it is great Sahabi's name, greatest martyr of all time. So that's my suggestion to you. You keep the name Hamza Hamza, and inshallah he will be brave like Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu. And last question.
I see the listener says, dear Mufti Sapa, I heard you coming to Durban. Can my two daughters meet you at the airport, Ustad? They love your program, Ustad.
No airport business and all this guy. Just now they come there with the garland and all this guy things there. I will have to look for a back door to make a quick exit. You must remember. So forget all that. You must remember, yes, inshallah, make dua that we reach on time, everything.
Ameen.
Allah make easy.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.